I am really happy to have so many people interested in the theory that NVC spring from. Theory is one of my big passions in life, has been since I was a small child. And to me, theory is the adult version of the child question, why? The question that all of us have in abundance. And I was lucky enough to not have it squashed out of me, so I kept and continued to ask the why questions all the time. As you can imagine, some people find that uncomfortable because there isn't always a good reason why certain things are done. So the expanded version of why is this series, and starting with today, the focus of today is a deceptively simple question. What is NVC? What does NVC mean? What is it for you, for me, for all of us? And I like to be able to answer the variety of questions that come up in relation to this umbrella question, both for myself and for my capacity to be an ambassador in the world. Because part of the way that I think about learning and practicing NVC is that we become ambassadors. We live in times in which the majority of people are not operating from within the framework that NVC invites us to. I see that as a privilege and responsibility to have encountered NVC. It's the privilege of having these tools to change my life and make it work better for me and those around me. And I also take on a responsibility of then being an ambassador, someone who acts in the world as a change agent, as inviting everyone into that practice, as being the one to take the responsibility for making things go well instead of waiting for others. So this is pretty deep for me. And I want to be able to answer these questions in large part because I know that many of us, myself included, have had experiences of alienating people because we're so excited about NVC, and then we, you know, kind of like try to get other people to get into NVC instead of choosing to live and be the consciousness. So that's where I'm coming from. And I like to be very interactive. And so I have just a couple of questions that will help me know how to frame parts of what we do today. The first question that I have is, are there people on this call who are either brand new or almost brand new to NVC? And I have a request of you. You have a special role that I want to ask you to fulfill, which is the role of asking questions. I want everybody to do that. And, you know, anyone who has been exposed in any way to Buddhism might have heard the term beginner's mind. People who participate in a practice for a long time get into a particular form of laziness around language and concepts. We kind of tend to assume that everybody knows and everybody agrees. So if there's anything that I or anybody else says that doesn't actually clarify itself or doesn't make sense, please ask. So that was the first question. Second question is, I would like to know how many people engaged with the materials that I sent ahead of time. So I have a strong request that if people are going to choose to participate in the rest of the class, that you please engage with the materials, because it very much changes the level of engagement that we can have here if you grapple with concepts ahead of time. And the last question that I have is, I would like to know how many of you have a question or a topic that you would like us to discuss based either on engaging with the materials, or just in general, overall, about this umbrella question, what is NVC? How many of you have something you would like us to sink our teeth into? Great. What I would like to do next, based on the responses that I've gotten, is I would like to do the following. I'd like to hear the questions that people have. It may be that some of them have very immediate and easy, quick responses. Most likely some of them will be open topics. And then I would like to probably add a couple more and then put you into small groups to have a little bit of discussion amongst yourselves about the topics that are being raised. Then we will come back, engage in the large group for a while. Then I will take another set of questions and go into small groups, and we'll do this as many times as possible. So please say your question.
My question is, what are the dynamics of what happens when there's separation between two people and then there's connection? I understand when there's an understanding and you hear each other's needs, that leads to connection. I'm just wanting to know if you've explored, if you can share about perhaps like micro steps that have to do with the mind, the psychology, whatever, just because I'd like to get under the skin of that more and understand what it is that actually leads to the connection.
Great. I love your question, and I would like to explore it at a later session because I think it fits best with the third session, that is a deeper look at the building blocks of NVC. So we can look at, I like how you said it, the micro steps and what happened, why is it that we use these steps and what is their power in terms of creating connection?
Yes.
Thank you. Let me see. So, hi.
The question has to do with NVC and healing, the underpinnings of the healing, other than empathy and people being heard. Wondering if you have more.
So let me repeat back what I'm hearing. That you want to know if there's more to healing than empathy?
More underpinnings, more of a clarification and elaboration of the healing that can take place with using MVC.
Got it. I haven't thought of including this question, so I want to kind of like put it on hold, and we might get to it this session or maybe in future sessions.
Okay.
I'm not entirely sure what you wanted. Just it's not fitting within the framework that I
okay.
had for today.
All right. Thank you.
Okay.
I'm questioning whether the need to tell the story, the storytelling comes from underneath that, a need for empathy. The symptom is I'm telling my story again because I don't have the empathy that I need. And I'm wondering if that's true.
Yeah. So I understand the question, and I'm really appreciating that these questions are coming up because I see that they're going to shape how I plan some of the rest of the sessions to address them, and I'm looking at something much more basic today, which is what is the meaning of this practice? Why are we doing it? What does it all mean to us instead of very specific questions? So last chance.
When I ask a person, feeling question, and I have to stand in front of myself and allow a dialogue to begin. My question is how to let go and allow the dialogue to direct me rather than my need to direct the question.
I have to confess in this moment feeling a little puzzled because the questions that I'm hearing are not lining up with the topic that I set up for today. And so I have some sense of confusion about what people did, what people read, what people engaged with in choosing to sign up for today's class. So I think I need to kind of like step back and rename the purpose of what I was planning to do today, and see if we can align on that or need to throw away my design and engage with what's happening, which is different from what I had planned. So there's one more person who wants to speak, and after that I want to shift course and see how to engage with what's happening.
I'm just curious about NVC consciousness. I see it as a spiritual practice, and I'm just wondering if it was possible to just touch a bit this subject in this particular class.
Yes, I'm grateful to have a question that is aligned with what my design was. And so I want to engage with your question and with a few other questions. And before I do that, I need to create some connection with the group as a whole. See what the questions were that were asked and the gap between them and my intention for this class. I want to engage with that and see how I want to address it. So how I want to engage with this is by looking at this as an example of what NVC means by knowing how to handle a moment like this. A moment in which, imagine, I'm inviting all of you to imagine that you are me right now and that you designed a class, put it up on a website, invited people to register. People register. You think that it's based on what you wrote as the plan for the class. And then when you hear people's questions, there is a disconnect. This is a real dilemma. And the question of how to respond to this kind of dilemma speaks directly to some of the things that I wanted to bring up today, which is, what does it mean to address a moment like this from within an NVC consciousness? So to begin with, I'd like to see if anybody has some thoughts of what are my options in terms of how to handle this, with or without NVC. Just what are the human options that are available to me in responding to a moment like this, where I had a plan and I see, based on the questions and the level of engagement with the material, that where people are, at least my assessment of it, my interpretation of the data that I'm receiving, is that there is some gap. What are my human options for how to address that kind of a gap? I'd like people to press 1 if you have an idea of what the options are. And then, because there are many people, I'm going to call on people and hear what you're saying. And then I want you, the rest of the people who pressed 1, to take responsibility such that if the option that is being named is one that you already, you thought of and were going to say, to please change your keypad from 1 to 3, so I will know not to call on you and hear the same thing again. All right, I'm going to start at the top. What do you see as options?
I think you could repeat the questions that you included in the material.
Okay, so I can repeat the questions. In other words, the way that I would frame it is, put an effort into making my original design work. That's a way of elaborating and working with what I came here for by just explaining it further. So that's one strategy, one option that I have. Thank you. What other option do you see?
Perhaps just ask everyone if they would be willing to take a chance and go with the original plan. And then if the majority really would like to do that, we would save a lot of time and you could just proceed perhaps with the questions as are on the printed preparation.
Thank you. I'm glad you didn't press 3, even though you think this is a variation. As I see it, there is a dramatic difference. I see a dramatic difference between the two. And the difference that I see is it goes to the heart of some of the quintessential qualities of NVC. The difference is, at least the way that I understood the suggestion that James made, it was to explain myself and proceed. The suggestion that you are making is to engage in dialogue with the group, check for willingness. So there's a different kind of engagement. Do you see the difference? Because that is critical in terms of what we're trying to live with NVC.
Yeah, that's great. That's where I'm coming from, and I'm glad that that's the way it's seen.
Thank you. So that's a second option, is to engage in dialogue with the group to find out if the strategy of going with the original plan will work for people and go based on that. So anything you want to add before I go to another person?
No, good luck.
Thank you. At this point, I am quite happy because internally I have found a way to make use of the discomfort of the moment. And as soon as I'm able to make use of the discomfort of the moment, I'm no longer uncomfortable. So do you have another human option that you see available to me?
It's a little bit similar to the last one, Mickey, and that would be to, you know, put us into pairs or triplets and give us another question that really helps bring us connected and, you know, connected with the topic. And perhaps out of that might come some sort of more alive, fresher questions.
Thank you. I'm appreciating what you're saying because it helps me clarify my question. I'm not asking for teaching strategies.
Uh-huh.
I'm asking for what are my human options in terms of how to meet the challenge. This is a particular strategy for how to activate people, and that's not quite what I'm asking about. What I'm asking is how to manage a gap between me and where I think other people are. I see what you're saying as a variation on the original suggestion, which is, again, to activate people based on the original design.
Okay. I see that. Thanks.
Thank you. And you have another image of an option.
A human option at this point would be to turn this to a certain extent, declare failure on the original idea, and to turn the initial session into an information gathering session and just have it all be questions and then revise the, you know, future sessions based on that.
Great. So this would be let go of original strategy. Yeah?
Yes.
And again, what we are doing here is we're operating on two levels. There is the content, and I'm using this to learn about what does it mean to approach a moment like this from an NVC perspective. And I want, as we gather all of these, the one that Carolyn brought up is the one that so far to me is most aligned with my understanding of the intentionality of NVC, which is to look in explicit dialogue for ways to address everyone's needs. That's an intentionality that I saw her point to. And essentially I see the strategy that James suggested is basically to continue with my desired outcome. The strategy that you are suggesting is some variation, and there may be other possibilities, of letting go of what I wanted and going along with what's out there, adapting to what's out there. And the strategy that Carolyn suggested is to check with the other people if they are willing to go with what I wanted. These are the three orientations that have come up so far. Anything else you want to add before I continue with other people?
Just that my suggesting that wasn't necessarily recommending it, which I think you
understand.
And
I understand. Yeah.
I just wanted to add that you could do that either in a very constructive spirit. A couple of these you could do either in a very constructive spirit, or I've seen instructors become peevish and not act very happy about the interruption or any change in course.
Yes, there is definitely the option that I could just hang up the phone and say, I'm not doing this. That is also a human option.
That's right.
I really want us to kind of like get out of the idea that the universe of possibilities is completely constrained, because it isn't. Thank you. And I am going to get other people.
One option could be that you could check in with us to see if there's any confusion about how you put out the plan and whether we fully understand it.
Great. That is a different human option, which is in a way to check my assumed interpretation to find out where the other person is. It's a different level of engaging, different entry point of engaging with dialogue. None of these is necessarily an end point. But I'm appreciating the additional option that you raised. Are you comfortable with me continuing with the next person?
Totally comfortable, thank you.
Okay, thanks. So I'd like to continue to other suggestions that may be there. Okay. Anything you add to the repertoire?
Well, I guess for me, I kind of thought that this call would be more of a just a clarification from you on your intention for the class, and then I could take it from there. So I'm a little bit lost and confused by what's going on right
now.
I guess I need clarification from you on your intention.
Thank you. Let me tell you how I'm tracking what's happened. What's happened is that I experienced some discomfort in relation to having questions and input from people that didn't match what I had intended for today. And I decided to use that moment as an opportunity to explore what NVC brings to a situation. Here we have a live situation in which I have this confusion and discomfort. What are my options for how to handle it? Just as an example. Do you see what I mean?
Yeah, for me, I guess what I need is for you to just be really crystal clear on your intention, and that will make me feel more comfortable.
So I'm wondering if you got sufficient clarity from me right now in terms of what I'm doing to have the comfort that you want.
I guess I just need to listen more. I'm very confused by this whole process right now. I would feel better if you were just, and this may be my inadequacy in the class, is that I just want to know what your intention are and what your purpose is for this call, and then I will just gather information from this call. That's my need.
Yeah, so there's something about having a structure and clarity that are explicit and move in a sequence that you can follow that really gives you ease.
Now, yeah, I think so. And then later I could see branching out. But that's just my personal idiosyncrasy here. Thank you for hearing me.
That this is what you would like. And what I'd like to request of you is about 3 or 4 more minutes of stretching to hang out with your discomfort. And then I have a sense that I can come back and support you then.
I appreciate that. Thank you.
Thank you. So I want to know if you have any new human option for me to consider.
Well, I was one of the people responding the first time, and I noticed when my question didn't meet your asking us to respond, I wanted to say to you, I must not have understood you well. Can you restate? I wonder what I didn't understand. I'd like to have clarity. And in a sense, I'm saying it happened between a few people and maybe dialoguing with what did they hear, what did they think you meant, and
yeah, so
that would bring out what might have gone wrong, especially if there was a pattern in it. For me, I felt like I'm not clear enough on what you're asking, apparently, and
yeah.
I wanted to ask you to clarify it, but I didn't want to take the class time to do it, and in a way, I feel now, I can sense now that my spontaneous responsibility, I abdicated it.
Uh-huh. Thank you. For me, what you're suggesting is similar to the previous one, if anybody is still tracking, which is to check for what the source of the confusion is and to engage with people in this way. So thank you for the specificity of this. And are you complete? Can I
yes.
proceed? There are a couple more people. So there are 3 more people, and I want you to really consider whether you have something to say that's different from what's already been said, because I really want to shift out of this moment at this point. So unless you have something new, a different human option to meet this moment, I'd like you to take down your hand. So Paul?
So I think this is different, and this is something I worked with myself. So one option you would have had is to have been nice instead of really paying attention to your discomfort and honoring it and moving forward. And I deal with this sometimes because I don't know sometimes whether I should actually honor what's alive, or maybe it's not to do it then, or whether to come in. And so I was feeling nervous and wondering how you were going to respond to that. Then you went with what was alive for you, and I'm really grateful that you did.
So, but implicit in what you're saying is there is another human option, which is to override the discomfort. and figure out what to do without engaging with myself.
Well, yes, and it also could be of continuing to be uncomfortable, but just not honoring it in myself, not taking care of myself by expressing it somehow or taking care of it. I could continue on with the discomfort.
Yeah, sort of like stretching to function despite it.
Yes.
Great. So I'm really appreciating having all these different options. And I would like to now try to explain again what I was trying to do by doing this. I know it sometimes gets very confusing when a moment that has a real emotional vibrancy in the moment and has content in the moment, when a moment like this is taken as an illustration of some conceptual principle, for some people that becomes confusing how to separate the content from the process. So hopefully what I'm going to ask you to do right now is going to help. What I would like you to do is I'm going to ask you to be in small groups now. And in the small group, I would like you to continue to engage with this. If you remember the various options that were put on the table, don't worry about the particular event that just happened. Think in terms of if there is a moment of confusion or discomfort between you and another person or you and a group. These are the options that so far we have uncovered. One is you can proceed with your original intent. Another is you can engage in dialogue with whoever else is there. Another is you can let go of your original intent and follow what you find with you. Another is you can engage empathically, sort of, with what's out there to see what the source of the discomfort is in the other person. And another is you can just ignore, stretch through, override yourself and proceed as if the discomfort hasn't happened, even though you're feeling it. And there probably is a few other possibilities that we haven't uncovered. What I'd like you to do in the small group is to look at two questions. One is, if this were to happen to you, which of the options are you likely to choose? Maybe you can think of a specific moment that happened for you. And the key question is, why would you choose that option? And how does your choice relate to the practice of NVC? In other words, in what way does your choice exemplify NVC consciousness or not? And what would it mean to respond to that moment from an NVC consciousness? So that's the question that I want you to engage with in your small group. And at this point, Dana, I want to check with you if this is providing you the clarity that you were hoping for.
Yes, thank you very much.
Great. And I would like to know if there are any questions about what I'm asking you to do.
I wasn't sure about the three questions that we were to talk about. One of them was, which one would we choose? What was the next one?
Why?
Okay, why? And then what was the last one, something about how does this relate to NVC?
Consciousness, yeah.
Okay.
That's your choice. Exemplify NVC consciousness as you understand it or not. And see if you can articulate. For example, that you could argue that if I were to just repeat the questions and proceed as if nothing happened with other people, that I would be only attending to my needs and not to other people's needs. And in that sense, I am, in my understanding of NVC, since one of the intentionalities of NVC is to hold everyone's needs, I could argue that it's not as clearly within NVC consciousness as some of the other options. You see what I mean?
Yes.
Thank you. Welcome back. So I am wanting to hear from a couple of people just a response to if there was anything that got clear to you about NVC consciousness from the conversation that you were in. Share with us what got crystallized for you about NVC consciousness.
This is my first contact with anything that has to do with NVC, and so I don't know what the NVC consciousness is.
Thank you. I want to get back to that in a moment because I want to dedicate some of the rest of the time to answering this question. And then Dana.
I don't remember the gentleman who spoke up right before we broke into groups, but what I loved about that and what it pointed out to me was that it's really important for me to acknowledge my own feelings and needs in any given situation. That was a real aha for me. I'm good about acknowledging and wanting to hear everyone else's feelings and needs, but he just made that point when you were zeroing in on what was making you uncomfortable. It was an honoring of yourself, and I really appreciated that whole thing, so thank you very much for that.
Thank you. So to loop back to Kathy for a moment, I can use what Dana just shared as an illustration. Today is dedicated to answering the question, the deceptively simple question, what is NVC? And there are hundreds of ways to answer this question. One of the answers that emerges from what Dana said is one of the things that changes when we take NVC seriously is we start engaging with ourselves differently. So NVC invites us to honor ourselves in the way that Dana was talking about and to start paying attention to our feelings and needs. Life changes when we do that because the culture at large doesn't. Are you with me on this?
Yes, I am. Thank you.
And so there are ways in which the process of NVC, learning NVC, is a process of changing what we give our attention to. So the more global thing is what we give our attention to is one of the things that any form of living is about. The culture at large doesn't give attention to feelings and needs. It gives attention to things like what's right and what's wrong, what's normal, what's not normal, what's supposed to happen, what looks good, what makes sense, what follows the rules. There can be a host of other things that habitually we've been trained to give our attention to. Choosing to give our attention to feelings and needs, our own and or others, is a shift in our consciousness. So that is an example of what NVC could mean. And so I want to see if anybody has anything else that came to you from the engagement in your small group that you would like to share right now before I start raising a few more questions. I see that there is one more person.
What happened with me was that I was just watching my body and energy as we proceeded during the telecourse and how I'd become a little agitated and was wondering how it would unfold. Once we were in the small group and I could interact and hear how wonderful it was to be heard and constructive dialogue was occurring, I had such a different feeling about the whole process. It completely shifted. It was actually fun to have this dilemma in front of me rather than have it be an agitation. So the bottom line is I realized that I have choice.
Yeah, and that is, again, one of the things that NVC invites us into is to pay attention to choice. The next topic in this series is to really start looking at what are the specific things that NVC invites us to give our attention to in terms of how we think about the world, how we think about people, and in terms of what intentions we put in place. So you're starting to see that through these conversations in your small groups, that there are specific things that we do at the level of consciousness, which is different from the actual technical practice of NVC, which we will deconstruct in the third session. For now, it's just useful to see that there's something that we do, something that's different. Anything else you want to add in this moment?
That's it.
Okay. Thank you. So what I would like to do right now is start looking at some of the questions that I invited you to consider ahead of time. And now that we have kind of engaged with an example of one of those difficult situations that we encounter in life, which in this case it happened to be that I encountered this situation, although in hearing from Peter, I understand, which I was aware of, that this was also a difficult situation for other people. It's like, okay, what do we all do in this moment? So now that you have engaged with this, I want to continue to raise some of these questions and stay in conversation about this. So given what's happened, given what you discussed in your group, can you take a moment to think about what NVC means to you? What excites you about it? And in what ways has learning NVC changed your perspective about yourself or about life? Anybody has anything that you want to say in response to these questions? Anything comes up?
I had an answer to the second question as far as the change goes. And that is, in my relationship with my daughter, who's a young adult woman now, she's at university, I had had real difficulty in communicating with her after my divorce with her mother a few years before. Early in my experience of NVC, I've been slow to be able to put NVC into my actual speech interaction. That takes a lot of work. But it changed some of my thinking right away. And I started in talking to her and arranging to meet and so on. I stopped feeling like it was a demand, like that she had to do things a certain way and show me a certain level of respect. I realized that there were so many shoulds going on in these conversations. And I was able to drop a lot of them to really just offer to get together or offer some help, you know, very freely and not being attached to the answer. And it's made things so much easier for me. And then over the year or so since then, it's really improved our relationship as well, made things a lot easier. There's no other way I could have had that same improvement through psychotherapy or self-help books or anything else I can think of. So that's an example of NVC really made a quick and important difference for me.
Thank you. I want to engage with this for a little bit longer, just, you know, kind of like dig a little deeper into it, because I think that what you are talking about is really an example of how what we tell ourselves about life affects how we act, affects how people respond to us. So the way that we think about things makes a huge difference. It's not a small thing. Here, even you're saying that learning the practice of NVC has taken you longer, but just thinking differently about what a relationship between father and daughter means changed that relationship. That's what I'm picking up from what you're saying. That you changed the parameters and that had an effect. So this is one of the things that to me is really powerful, not just about NVC, more globally about being human, that the stories that I hold in my mind about myself, about other people, about life, affect what happens. And that in that sense, NVC changes those stories inside of me. And that's what I'm hearing happen to you very quickly.
Yes.
Thank you. You're complete, or is there anything else?
I am complete. Thank you.
Thank you.
There's so much I have to say about this, so I'm going to try to keep it really short. I would say that it completely changed my life, completely. It's a bit like the question my father always asked me when I was young. What would you do if this was your last day in your life? Now, the way I perceive NVC, I think it really boils down to this, is to live completely, fully, in the moment, completely liberated from any thoughts, and feeling the complete connection with everybody. It sounds weird, but to me it makes total sense, and I'm wondering if it makes sense to you?
Partially. Let me tell you a way that I would reframe it that would make sense to me, and see if that's still captures what you were trying to say. If not, then I will need to go back and forth a little more, which is there is something about having preconceptions or ideas about what things are or what things should be, that if I bring it into a moment, affects it and makes me less available to meet the moment on its own terms in the present moment. Is this similar to what you were trying to say?
It's similar. I would say that it's from living in the moment, feeling the complete connectedness, connection with everyone. For instance, if I'm with someone and having an argument, rather than to want to win the argument, I'm going to hold both our needs and sometimes almost feel like I'm in the, I don't know if you've seen the movie The Matrix. You don't see the arguments or the words that are being thrown to you or the violence. You just see what's in the heart of that person.
I understand this very well. The piece that I feel a bit concerned about is that that still is a particular thought and a particular approach.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, it is a thought that says that what's important is to pay attention to the heart.
Well, I would say that if you think in the moment, it could be difficult to keep it as a thought. So I think it's about having also a conscious presence that enables you not to get into your head and not to think of it as a thought. Does that make sense to you?
Yeah, it does. Again, up to a point, because I think that this whole idea of getting into the head is problematic and complex, and I don't want to take the time to unpack it completely. I just want to say that in every moment, even if it's unconscious, we have some theory about what the moment means.
Let me ponder on that, and I'll let other people speak now.
Thank you
very much for sharing this.
Thank you. I'm sure we'll come back to this. Ellen.
How my perspective has changed in terms of a really profound sense of empowerment to connect more deeply with myself, connect more with others. But it's having the ability to direct, to move, to be fluent in how I am being with myself and with others, so that it's not I don't have thoughts, I don't have judgments and all of that, but it's the empowerment of not being static in a way or not being rigid in a way. And I'm not feeling satisfied with how I'm putting this into words. And I don't know, Mickey, if...
I think I might be able to help. I am thinking that there is... It's almost like from... I can tell you what it is like for me, the thoughts and the judgments. First of all, there's fewer judgments that come up, period, from all the years of practice. When they come up, they don't have as much power. It's almost like they don't occupy the whole space there is inside of me, because I basically don't forget that they are just judgments. They're not reality. I'm not a victim to my judgments. And I'm wondering if that's related to what you...
it's like they become a kind of a transparent screen that I can see through very easily.
Yeah.
And the other part, though, is an experience I have more in my abdomen of being able to transpose, if that's not quite the word, but translate, or it actually does change what's going on with me in relationship to another person. It's like I'm in the driver's seat as opposed to everything else pointing me in certain ways.
Yeah. And again, that comes from the willingness and the practice to engage in a particular way with the judgments when they come up. And that practice changes the cellular makeup of what happens in us.
Yeah. Thank you, Mickey, for clarifying that so well.
I would like to hear from Anicha.
It's a relief. It's way out to be transparent and not think about the results. Who are you in the moment, or who you think you are in the moment?
So it has allowed you less fear and more ease?
I'm not afraid of fear.
Yeah. Yeah.
I prefer to let the environment around me know that there is fear in me and let them, you know, be with it. And
yeah.
It's just a way of taking the fear out of me, and that's it.
It's I've been thinking a lot for some time now about how essential the relationship is between fear and nonviolence, in the sense that if we really want to live a life of nonviolence, we need to change our relationship with our fear. So I think that's part of what you're speaking to. So thank you. Anything else you want to add?
There's another facet to that, that people around me will not always understand. That will create a certain result which I'll have to pay, I assume. As long as I'm surrounded by people who can listen to me or are a little bit more connected to themselves, it's all right. But it's a different situation when you're surrounded by people who have less connection to themselves or no connection at all. In that way, the only thing that I can see work is transforming and having some empathy to myself, also liberating.
What I'm hearing you bringing to the fore is, how do we relate this consciousness to people who don't share it, who live in a different way? And that, to me, is a big piece of what is the purpose? That was a question that I wanted to throw and add to the mix. What is the purpose of learning NVC? What's the reason to choose this practice? And how does it come into play when I'm interacting with people who are in a different place from the one that I'm in? I want to add that to our conversation. And at this point, are you comfortable with me moving to the next person?
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. I think it's Kate next.
For me, it's something like some kind of a magnificent art to practice. And what I'm noticing is mainly my internal responses in nearly every situation are really different, and they in their own way are growing as well as I work externally and I try to do the work, but just my natural responses are really changing. So something like watching a film the other day, and there was some really serious revenge happening, and you know, in the past I would have so loved that and so seen that as a way forward, and I just absolutely don't now. I'm just noticing how much more I was connected to the person who the revenge was being played out on. And, you know, things like, I used to come up to dead ends. Oh, okay, we don't agree. Where do we go? There's nowhere to go. Or you think I'm an idiot. There's nowhere to go. And now something is really open. There's almost nothing I can imagine being thrown that doesn't have some life in it for me to look for in myself or look for in another and to move forward from that place. It's just so much richer and so much more powerful to be moving from a really different place.
And do you have a sense of what is it about NVC that does it for you?
I think it's just looking underneath and looking, being encouraged and practicing to look behind behavior, to sort of look underneath or behind what that message is and look for what's trying to be expressed. Yeah.
So there is a way that I see, and that again goes back to that question that I raised earlier about what is it that we give our attention to, that learning NVC is a form of training our consciousness, training our attention, so that we give our attention to different things from what we're used to, and the results are different. Does that fit for you?
Yeah, the results, and subtly and enormously at the same time, yeah.
Thank you. Jean?
For me, what NVC means to me is I experience it as a very rigorous spiritual practice that invites me to sort of a constant engagement with just inquiring what is going on with me and what's going on with the other. And again, that goes to the issue of where do I put my attention and how that relates to if I'm talking with people who do not have NVC is I just find repeatedly that it doesn't matter whether they have any NVC or not. The NVC gives me the consciousness, and then it also gives me the tools to connect with them in a much deeper way than I had before. And to me, then, that hope is okay, how could I connect with people who have dramatically different ideas about what should happen in the world, and then move beyond my images of them as being wrong, bad, or stupid into, oh, wow, what's the life that, you know, the Gandhi piece, how did they have a piece of the truth too?
Mm-hmm.
And how can we connect long enough so that all of the truth that's alive here can come out, and then we can create something new that I had never thought of before?
You know what is emerging to me as I'm listening to you and to a couple of the people that spoke before? It's a part of the change, as I understand it now, is difference. Somebody else thinking differently is no longer frightening, is no longer bringing us to a place of either or inside of us. We can stay solid in ourselves and be curious about where another person is instead of being affected in that way. Does that resonate for you?
That resonates as on a continuum, that there may be a point in the beginning of the conversation where it may be frightening, and then I can do some self-empathy, and then, but eventually, yes, to get to that point where it's more intriguing than frightening.
Yeah. Thank you. Anything else, or are you game for me to move to another person?
I'm game for you to move on. Thanks for asking.
Thank you. I want to hear from Stephen, and then I know there are a few other people that want to speak, and I want to do one more small group before continuing, so just to give people an opportunity to think about another aspect. So, Stephen.
NBC invites me to learn how to contribute to life, and without taking feelings and needs into account, that is very difficult to do.
Can you say one more sentence?
NBC, for me, is about learning how to contribute to life. It's learning what my life is expressing and what the other's life is expressing, and how to find the needs that are wanting to be given to or contributed to. For me, contribution is what I intended when I used to say love or loving.
Uh-huh. So what I'm getting from what you're saying is the intentionality to contribute is there. It's kind of like a human way of being for you. And that what NVC is giving you, amongst other things, is the capacity to be more precise and effective in contributing because you're connecting with what need there is out there that you're contributing to. Did I get that right?
Yes.
Yeah.
It's frustrating to attempt to give to someone and find that it just falls flat. It doesn't work.
Yeah. So you are able to the contribution comes from connection, and then it works better.
Exactly.
Yeah. Thank you. I want to talk for a couple of minutes and then invite you to do one more small and short engagement in your small group. And the piece that I want to talk about is the question of NVC as a spiritual practice. I want to relate it to something that I have noticed over the years, which is that different people latch on to different aspects of what NVC brings to them. So you can see that that's happened already on this call, that some people were basically expressing an orientation to NVC, to living NVC, that is about getting grounded inside and having empathy for self. Some people talked about empowerment as kind of like a way that NVC lives in them, or a sense of choice. Each of them are consistent with my understanding of NVC, and yet it's a different flavor. That NVC can be different flavors, or NVC as living in the present moment. These different flavors, if we can give clarity inside ourselves to what is the particular flavor that is the part of NVC that really makes me sing, that is probably going to be the most powerful aspect of what would make NVC a spiritual practice for me. And it also is a way in which NVC there's a way in which NVC can often be an enhancement of other spiritual practices. That has happened a lot for many people, that learning NVC deepens their spiritual practice. So what I would like you to do, just briefly, is go back into your small groups. In your group, just take just a minute to see if you can articulate for yourself what is the key thing that for you embodies your biggest joy about NVC. And once you find that, then you can let the next person speak. Just take a moment to kind of like pause, reflect, articulate it, and then we will come back to that. Anybody has any question about what I'm asking you to do? Okay, you had a question.
Yeah, can you please rephrase?
How about you just look at the question for yourself? Is there a way in which for you NVC feels like a spiritual practice or enhances your spiritual practice?
All right.
And if so, what aspect of NVC does that for you? Thank you. Okay. Welcome back. I hope you had a fruitful conversation, and would anyone like to share what transpired in your group that helped you connect with the question of how NVC can be a spiritual practice or enhance a spiritual practice?
Well, it was interesting in our group, one of our participants talked about NVC is almost like a methodology or a technology. And I was thinking about my spiritual practice, which is not a formal one, but more of a set of core values or underlying beliefs that I use to guide my life. And I think about NVC, and what it provides me with is a vehicle or an opportunity or a way to kind of realize those values and embody them in my world. So NVC is one of those things that I got exposed to and went, wow, this totally fits. And
yeah,
it really aligned very, very wonderfully, and is an important tool for me in my life. I look forward to becoming much,
yeah,
better at it over the years.
So you are highlighting the way in which NVC can help deepen a spiritual practice by giving tools for aligning with the values. Thank you, and I appreciate that and share this. And I'm wondering if there's anyone else that can speak to the question of what are some values that are specific to NVC that make it a spiritual practice? And wondering if you want to speak to that or something else.
What I want to say is that the element that really strike me or help me is that I realize that we all have needs, and each person's needs are universal. And in my religious practice, we also believe that we don't need to punish other people because their needs are different from my needs. That's what the Bible teaches us. Unfortunately, in the real life, in the real church, punishment is a big item, is a big element. And reading NVC or practicing NVC really tell me what Jesus has been teaching us. The forgiveness and the no judgment, non-judgment, and all this stuff is really coincide with what NVC is teaching. And it helped me to practice.
Thank you. We heard earlier how NVC can support spiritual practice in terms of the actual practical tools, and here what I'm hearing is that the values of NVC, the perspective, the very ideas, the assumptions, the story that NVC tells us about life in and of itself can be aligned with the spiritual practice that one has.
When I think about my spiritual practice and when I think about NVC, the word expansion, because I'm continually expanding and embracing more of the universe. And so that's what empathy is about, and many other aspects of NVC, expansion.
Thank you. We are coming towards the end of our class, so I just wanted to say something in terms of as we move forward. I want to put in a plug that you do your best to engage with the materials, because I have very high degree of confidence that the more you engage with the materials ahead of time, the more productive our conversation here will be. So what ended up happening today is that we kind of like engaged with these questions live, and I have a sense we could have gone deeper if more people had prepared ahead of time. So that's my hope. And before we close, I would love to hear from a couple of people if you can say one thing very briefly of what you received from being together today, what stands out to you that has enriched you.
The sheer joy of connecting with other people and looking at these ideas and learning and being supported and supporting.
Thank you.
Just being in my small group helped bring about a level of self-acceptance.
Thank you.
When I am clear inside, then I connect with the other and I receive validation on the outside.
Thank you.
I really enjoyed looking inside, and I can still feel it in my top abdomen, into the discomfort of that moment at the beginning of the call when things weren't going to plan. And so I really enjoyed that meta level of stretching inside. What is going on here? What are our options? That was very exciting for me.
Thank you. Any more comments or questions that anybody has, for example, about the rest of the class or anything that's happened today that you want to comment on? There's still room for a few more.
The third question. I have a really hard time sometimes with people in my family. They're saying things like, oh, no, nothing's going to work, or so totally in opposition to the idea of working things out. One of the things that I took away today was, in addition to some answers, there was a question that's there around that whole part of my life.
And what's the question?
When someone is stating something like that, I'm realizing that I'm not empathizing in the same way as I would if they said, oh, I'm feeling sad. The question, I guess, is whether I'm going to succeed in empathizing. So I'll watch out for them, and hopefully in future class, you know, if I'm stuck, there'll be an opportunity to ask you about them.
Yeah, this speaks to one of the things that we didn't get to very explicitly, which is the challenge of living this consciousness in a world that hasn't embraced it. And how can we open ourselves completely and fully to accepting where the world is and engage with it from an open-hearted place even when the world isn't? That's in a way the depth of the challenge that I see us facing. Wondering if that speaks to your question.
Exactly. Yes.
Thank you. Thank you, everyone. I am really energized by the way that we navigated the complexity, and I really look forward to the unfolding and hoping to engage with many of you in the coming weeks. Bye for now.